Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Often, when I am preparing a message, it's what I need to hear. And I figure if I need to hear it, you probably do too, right? And so we're going to be talking today about things that we sow, and that's not S-E-W, but S-O-W. To sow means to scatter, to disperse, to plant, to propagate, or distribute. The sow. We will begin reading shortly from Matthew 13, 18, where we find the words, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And when hearing this verse, we immediately think of sowing the seed of the gospel. But we sow many different ideas and attitudes in our daily life. You know, we give our opinions about things, and we are sowing thoughts. Our actions sow thoughts. In Matthew 13, 4 through 8, we find the parable. The Lord tells his disciples concerning the sower that went forth to sow, and the results from that effort. And beginning at verse 18, the Lord goes into further depth concerning this parable. So let's begin reading at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 13. And it says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." Wouldn't it have been exciting to have heard Jesus Christ actually speak these words? Wouldn't it have been exciting to be sitting there as he begins to expound on the need of sharing the word? Verse 19, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh" who? "The wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. He," or this is "he which receives seed by the wayside." Now, can I give you a thought that any time on a service, and especially in Sunday morning, or if there's new people here, we want to make sure that we don't do anything that would sidetrack their thinking, because they need to hear the word of God. And if they are watching you, then obviously they're not going to be listening to what is being said. Verse 20. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon," or at once, "with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." But that's a good word sometimes, isn't it? But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold and some 60 and some 30. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather together to sing the songs of praise, Lord, to watch this video on creation, and also, Lord, now to look into your holy word. May we each be encouraged. Lord, be with those that we mentioned earlier that have health concerns. Help them, Lord, in this time of distress or pain. And Lord, we ask that your will be done there. Be with the Covenant Baptist Church, Lord, with its ministries and with the work that we desire to accomplish. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Four recipients. In verse 19, the one that hears, but the evil one interrupts, causing the hearer to lose interest or move on to more interesting things or to simply not be moved by what is sown. And we find that there are multitudes that will hear the word but never ever accept it into their lives. There'll be those that will hear it, and many times for years, but never accept it and never follow through. Then in verses 20 and 21, because they have no root, they haven't been there long enough to endure. We find that they are easily offended. The other day, one of Donna's plants was attacked by a squirrel. And I don't know if it was trying to see what was in the pot or if it was bearing something for winter, but it knocked the plant literally out of the flower pot. And there it was laying on the side. And Donna likes the squirrels. In fact, sometimes she throws peanuts to them. But she wasn't too happy with the squirrels on that particular day. That bothered her. Did you know this? The deer have come and eaten the flower tops back there in the back. Those deer. Rudy, you got to do something about those deer. Yes, they're not supposed to eat those flowers out there. Yes, well, they did. In verse 22, there are those that hear the word and seem to enjoy it, but then the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches distract the hearers, and they're unfruitful. And so we find that there are those who have no intention to consider the word and move on. There are those who were offended by the word. And folks, a lot of people are offended by the word of God. And then there are those who are simply unfruitful. Wouldn't it be sad to think that God would say of us that we are unfruitful, that we haven't done anything for the cause of Christ? But then, praise God, there are those who fully believe and remain faithful. Now take your Bibles and turn to 3 John, the third epistle of John. How do we remain faithful? Faithful. How is it that we stay true to the Word of God? Can I ask you this? How many things have you seen in the sports world that really try to encourage you to remain faithful to God? Very few, right? You know, quite often if they're interviewing an athlete and he wants to praise God for his talent, they quickly end the interview and move on to something else. They don't really want that person to start preaching on national TV. You know, the fact is, if you're watching NBC or CBC or CBS or ABC or any of the stations, they have very little that promote Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. They don't promote that, do they? I mean, they may show someone praying, and once in a while they'll pray in Jesus' name. But usually they're not really promoting the way of salvation. So where are we going to hear this? Well, we're going to hear it in church or in our Bible readings through the week or the devotional book that we may have. But notice what John says here in the third epistle of John, verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love, where? In the truth. The truth. Do you know somebody that if they told you it was raining outside, you'd go and look? That there are people that no matter what they say, you're not really sure you believe them. I've known people like that. You know, maybe you know someone like that too. And verse 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. John is saying to Gaius, I hope you're doing well. See, there's nothing wrong with believers prospering and doing well financially or having good health. This is a good thing. And he says, I hope you're doing well. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Now, Sterling Heights is going to be having an election on August the 3rd. It's a primary. Can I ask you a question? Do you think I believe all the candidates? Do you think I do? How about all the commercials that are on the billboards or in the magazines or on television? Do you believe all those commercials, those advertisements? A lot of them, they're based with a little bit of truth, but then they're surrounded by what they think you want to hear. But you know, that's one of the problems with preaching the Word of God is people don't want to be told that they're sinners. They want to be told, I'm okay, you're okay. And let's just go on. But is that how Jesus went about preaching? No. He told them to what? Repent. Repent. It's what is necessary. Then know the truth. Because the truth will what? Set you free. Though it doesn't say this, but sometimes it'll make you very uncomfortable. It'll make us uncomfortable because sometimes a change is needed. Notice here what it says. Even as thou walkest in the truth. It's important that we walk in truth. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. No greater joy than to hear that. So if we're going to remain faithful, we must walk in truth. Otherwise, we're going to be uncomfortable to the point that we don't want to bother. When I was a junior at the Bible Baptist Seminary in Arlington, Texas, I worked, as most of you know, for the Arlington Public Schools. And the school system had hired many students from the seminary. And I worked for a floating team that filled in for sick janitors, or if there were no schools in need of assistance, we would go to some school and we would scrub floors and wax them. And most of the custodians liked the fact that we would come and do that. And one of the men that I worked with was named John. At this time, he was a senior with just over one semester to complete. Now, do you understand what I mean there with just over one semester to complete? He had one full semester and the end of another. You understand what I'm saying? And I was shocked when he told me he had just dropped out of school. He just dropped out. I was totally disappointed. I wanted to shake him. Have you ever wanted to shake somebody? Have you ever wanted to get somebody and say, what are you thinking? I mean, here you've spent 3.5 years working your way towards this degree, and you've suddenly decided to drop out of school. I must admit, I tried to shame him. Have you ever tried to shame somebody into doing the right thing? You know, here I am, I'm 20 years old, and this man is 21. Well, actually, he's a little bit older than that. And he had a wife and a couple of kids. And I tried to shame him into getting his head screwed on straight and going back to the school and saying, I'm sorry, I'll get things done. But he made up his mind. He had made his decision. And I only saw him a little bit longer before he even quit the job where I was working. You know, the fact is, he had been faithful for years and then dropped out. Question, how do we remain faithful, doing what the Lord would have us do? Well, Pastor Stephen gave us part of the answer Sunday night from Philippians chapter 4. We must have the right mindset. We must make sure that our mind is in the right place. Because if we have stinking thinking, we're going to do wrong things and we're going to make mistakes. Our attitude must remain on the Lord, to be faithfully following Him. Because sin will distract us. Do you agree with that? That sin will distract us. Have you ever been making something for dinner, and you were preparing it, and you were going along quite nicely, and you're putting A and B together, and you come up with C, and you've got to do this, and you put it on the stove, and it's on the eye, and something distracts you, and you walk away, and then you hear the smoke detector going off. Has any of you ever done that? And what has happened? You became distracted. And most likely, the meal is what? Burnt, ruined. It is not edible. something distract you. Sin will distract us. It will convince us that we can ride the proverbial fence. That we can be on the fence and have one leg in the world and one leg in the Lord's work, and we become distracted. Paul told Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. In other words, keep that which you've been taught. Avoiding profane and vain babblings. Can I tell you this? There's a lot of profane and vain babblings in our world today. We are being bombarded by society that tells us, well, you just want to have fun and just go and do it. It doesn't matter what other people think. And oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Now, I'll be honest with you. When I was in school, I struggled a little bit with dyslexia. A lot of times in adding and subtracting and things like that, I'd get the wrong answers. And I struggled with those things. I struggled with getting words together and spelling them properly. And sometimes it would simply be that I erred. I got something wrong. And you say, well, that's too bad. But the fact is, a wrong answer is what? Wrong. It's always wrong. When we don't follow the teachings of the Lord and we go in the wrong direction, it is wrong. It's wrong. Earlier in this same letter to Timothy that Paul wrote, he said this, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Again, Paul is talking about those who have erred from the faith. You know, Paul asked the people at Galatia, what happened? You were running well. Well, something came up and they stopped following the truth. Jude exhorts us to earnestly contend for the faith. In other words, it's a struggle. We need to continually work to make sure that we are watching what the Lord would have us do, going in the right direction. For the author of Hebrews states it this way, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Last night, my wife and I went out to eat. We used the gift card that we had gotten at Christmas time. And I'm glad, Chris, that gift cards don't expire, aren't you? And so we were out and you know, I was hungry. It was way past my eating time. In fact, we got there at 7 o'clock. I was ready to go in, ready to eat. How about you? It's 7 o'clock, Tuesday, you're ready to eat. And we get in and they tell us it's going to be about 20 to 25 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Golden Corral's right over there. I bet you we could just walk right on in. But I didn't do that. And we sat there for 20 minutes or so. And finally, I got up and I walked over and I said, you know, we've been here for about 20 minutes. Are we soon? And he goes, you're right now. That was good. And they took us over. And you know what I noticed? They were only using a half of the seating. Now, why were they only using half of the seating? Because they couldn't get people to work. They said their kitchen staff was reduced. And so they couldn't have too many things coming in because they didn't have people working. You know, the thing is that people in our society today, they want handouts. They want people to give them things. Isn't that sad? This is where we are in our society. In a socialistic government, you're going to have more and more of this. And you say, well, we're not socialistic. You want to bet? That's where we're at. We are suffering in that regard. We have stopped looking at the Word of God, and we've put our eyes on money. And this is what's become important to us. Turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. We've recently used these verses because I find that they are very telling in that believers, if they're going to be sowing the right attitudes, we must be right with what Ephesians 4 verses 30 through 32 have to say. That we grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Notice what it says in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you get excited about the fact you're redeemed? You know, we sing the song, redeemed and I what? Love to proclaim it. Love to proclaim it. Notice verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you're bitter, you will not be able to do the work of the Lord. Simply put, if you're bitter, you will not be able to do that which is necessary. If you have wrath in your heart, you will not be able to be a loving testimony for the cause of Christ. Wrath meaning vengeance, retaliation, revenge, the great force or vehemency, or excuse me, with great force, to cause injury, physical or mental. Remove the wrath, the desire to hurt. It says also to remove anger. You have anger in your heart. It's awful hard to be a testimony for the cause of Christ, isn't it? I remember one time we were coming to church and we were coming for a meal. It was a mission night. It was the missionary mission meal. And we had the food. In, I don't know if Donna was holding it in her hands or had it at her feet. And I remember a car and the driver did something that was irritating. You ever been irritated by a driveway or a driver? You ever been stupid behind the wheel? I made a U-turn right there on Van Dyke. And I went after that car. And I pulled up beside it and I began banging on the door of that car because I was so angry. You know, wasn't that really smart? I mean, that's what I did. And I gave them a piece of my mind. You ever done that? No, I hope none of you have. And then I pulled on to Hall Road to go to church another way, and Donna leans over to me and she goes, now witness to them. You remember that? Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, anger in your heart will make it so it's impossible to be a testimony. A testimony. We're to do away with evil speaking. Well, evil speaking, what is that? Well, on the way home from church, you have what they call pastor stew. You criticize everything the pastor just had to say. Yeah. Do away with that. Do away with malice, which is hostility and hatred. See, these things will keep you from sowing the seed. But what is the biggest one? Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. You get a grudge and you hold on to it. Folks, we have to be careful. I mean, I've been there. I see. What did I tell you at the beginning? Usually I preach things that I need to hear. I know what it's like to not want to forgive. I know what it's like to hold a grudge. But you know, I can't do the work of the Lord if I'm holding a grudge. How about you? Can you? It's impossible. I remember hearing the story of a son that was irritated and angry at his dad because the dad, as the boy was growing up, was cold and unresponsive to his needs. And he said his dad just frustrated the dickens out of him. And he said, and I'll never forgive him. Well, what is he basically saying? Is I'll never be able to be used of the Lord. Because if I remain angry at my dad or my mother or my sister or my brother or whoever, that will be what's growing in my heart. And I will not be able to sow what is necessary. What message are we sowing? Are we conveying? Is there anger in our heart? Is there evil in our speaking? Is there malice that keeps us from loving? Is there unforgiveness? How can we produce the fruits of Matthew 13:23 if we allow the sins of Ephesians 4:30-32 to control us? Looking unto Jesus, how important it is that we keep our eyes on the Lord. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. But Lord, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for the forgiveness that you give to us. Help us, Lord, in our daily lives to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.